Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Insane in the membrane.
Hello and welcome to your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane, with me, Rich Wilson. And this week I'm joined by the brilliant Luke Bayliss. Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, good, man. How's it going? Where do we find you? Where are you?
Skulking in the bushes, man. I saw you at the stress session thing. I know, Luke.
Yeah.
I think I just dropped you a message, to be honest.
That's it. Yeah. That was a good night, that. It was a good night.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think I told you a quick glimpse of my War and Peace story of my life, and I think you were a bit like, shit, man, we should probably have a chat.
Oh, definitely, and you're going to have to repeat it for the benefit of the listeners.
I'll try.
You're going to have to tell it. You have to tell your story. That's what we do. We tell our stories. I mean, if you want to, you don't have to.
I think the one thing about me is I'm probably like overshare. Do you know what I mean? I don't worry about anything, mate.
I tend to do it in general conversation, and I've said this on here before. I just forget when someone asks me how I am. Whatever's going on at the time, I'll tell them. I just see their face just go, oh, all right, it's nice to see you. I'll see you later. And I'm like, oh, shit, I've overshared.
I never read the room, so I'm like, instead of just stopping and just like backtracking, I'm like, yeah, I'll just keep talking, keep going. And it's like, all right, I should probably stop talking now, mate.
I know. I'm all for this is what it's all about, talking, opening up. Sometimes it's got to be, there's a time and a place. You can't just talk about the fact that you're struggling. I was having an issue with my senses, and I said to this it was at a gig, and I was there was this quite a sort of a famous comedian. I was talking to their partner, and I was talking to him, and I said, when I'm wanking, it just feels like I can't like the orgasm's happening like over the other side of the room, and he went, cool, man. Yeah. See you later.
That's literally captioned. Like, it's just the story of my life, mate. Trust me.
Yeah.
So inappropriate in situations where I should probably just shut up.
Yeah. I know. But it's even worse. This is why I haven't completely stopped, but I've knocked the booze on the head. Because I don't like who I am when I'm on it. I'm too boisterous. I go too mental, and I want to just, and I never want it to stop. I'm like, this is too much fun. And then if someone says to me, all right, this is it now, we're going home. I'm like, no, I ain't going home. And I'll get the ump.
No.
And like, but I'm not nasty. I'm just like, no, I want it to carry on.
Yeah.
And so I've stopped. And then, and I've noticed what was happening. I was drinking at gigs, and I'd go, I'll have one. Mm. And then I'm like, oh, I'm going to have loads. So then I'm, because I don't drink at home. So then I was like, right, make a decision. And I think you've come to that decision as well.
Yeah, this is like the kind of thing that I say, like I talk to people who drink and that, and they're saying like, oh, I'm fine. I'm not saying about you, by the way.
No.
A lot of people are like, you know, it's starting to affect my life and this and this, but it's not too bad. And I'm like, well, that's the whole point. You should try and knock it now, because I'm an example of when you do not, you're in denial. You're not aware of where you're going on this journey. And I just kept going to the point where, obviously, we'll get to this, but I ended up obviously in the Priory on two separate occasions for addiction and all that kind of stuff. So I always say, like, you know, use my story or other people's stories who are similar, like, to learn that the good thing is you're not at that point yet. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So, like, look forward, play it forward. Because seriously, I never in a billion years thought it would be me. I was always like, oh yeah, someone with a drink and drug problem, or they're just them, like, you know, those rough heads that you see like on the bench and that with the brown paper bag and all.
Yeah.
But it happens to so many people. And like, from going to a mental health hospital, you realize pretty quickly that like alcohol and drugs don't really give a shit who you are, how successful you are, how much money you've got, what you look like. At the end of the day, like, there's people, we're all in the same boat when it comes to it, you know? So, yeah, mate. I took it to the point where I lost everything, which I'll get into, but I had to literally start from scratch. Yeah, luckily, here I am. I'm like, yeah, everything's amazing. If only I'd learned sooner, maybe I'd have caught it in time, but I didn't, unfortunately, which is why I'm sitting here talking to you.
This is it. It's one of those things that, like you've just said, everybody says, oh, no, I'm all right. But I know people that, you know, every time you're out, they'll have a pint and you're like, "It's why are you having a pint now?" It's like, it's like Tuesday afternoon. We're just having a bit of lunch. And they're like, oh, no, I'll be all right. And then it's just all the time you just notice, oh, should we get a bottle of wine? Should we do this? Should we do that? And you're like, I think, I don't, why, this is getting a bit silly now. This is all the time. Whereas, like I say, I don't, my wife's the same. We're not really drinkers at home. Like, we've got booze we've got a bar that is full of stuff that we never touch. I've got beers and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, so it's more the social aspect of it when you're out.
And that's then it's all right. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, each to your own. I never see her 18 months sober. I don't see her and go, you shouldn't drink, or oh, alcohol's this, alcohol's that.
Yeah.
I say the facts about it. But the difference with me was, like you were saying, how when you start, you feel like you want to carry on. You find it hard to stop. I didn't. So I had like spells at the end where I'd be like, oh, I'm all right. I've done well at work. I tell you what, I'll just have a few beers. And then a few beers would turn into like, just before I went into rehab, I had 6 weeks of waking up, drinking all day, collapsing, waking up, 6 whole weeks. So you can imagine how bad it was.
Jesus Christ.
Absolutely horrific. And I would not wish it on anyone, because the thoughts and the way it took, the places it took me was just, and it wasn't just alcohol, but it was, you know, other stuff. But, mate, it's just like the steps of how you go from a few with your mates to drinking on your own to drinking days on end. Then you don't go to work. Then your missus leaves you. Then you end up like your business goes. Then you end up, and it's just like, you never think it'll get that far. But trust me, like it did for me. And not once, I remember, sorry, I'm going on, but I was.
No, it's all, you just chat away.
I was sat in a room. Right, I went into the Priory, and I actually put it off a few days because I didn't want to go. I was anxious. So I popped into a hotel room on my own and just drank and took basically coke for 2 days straight. And then I turned up there. I might as well have been levitating like some sort of zombie. Like, literally, it was like they did my vitals, and like the machine might as well have blown up. And I was sat in a circle for my first ever group therapy session. And even then, I was sat there and I looked around and I was like, why am I here? I don't need to be here. I'm only here because of my, you know, my family and people who are telling me I've got a problem, but I haven't got a problem. Like, you only live once. And like, I used to have it in my head, you know, I was like Wolf of Wall Street, like kind of scenes. And you think, oh, that's amazing. and you've got like visions of like, and then like you're sat in a van after 6 pints of Stella in a lay-by, feeling like you want to cry. And then you think, you soon realise, actually, I'm not, what's his name? What is this? Jordan Belfort. You know, I'm not throwing money like this, and I'm not like eating salmon for like, do you know?
in your head,
in your head, you're like, this is a party. Like, it's fine. I'm young. I'm having a laugh. It's all good. Everyone does it. You're weird if you don't, and all this. And then, actually, mate, like, you've lost everything and you're literally broken. Do you know? Yeah. It's just like, it's just mad. It's mad.
I've noticed that another reason why I've sort of curtailed the drinking is because when I'm drinking, I don't care. I don't care about money. I don't care what I do. I just go, I'm getting on it, and it doesn't matter. I'm having fun. You know,
that's what it is.
And I don't give a shit. And it's horrible. And I'm too loud. I'm too boisterous. And I'm just that guy. I don't want to be that guy.
Good example. That's exactly what I was like. Like, it would literally be like full force. I'd go from like fourth gear into like 12th. I went to a wedding once. I'll get this story in. I went to a wedding and I drank all day at this wedding. My parents turned up because they knew that the guy who was getting married, it was his parents, were friends of my parents, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I ended up going absolutely like wild, like some sort of like,
oh God,
wild thing. Everyone was convinced I was on drugs, but I actually wasn't. I was just drinking, but that's the kind of drunk I was. Yeah. Took all my clothes off. Was found, we were all staying in this like manor house for the night as like a special wedding thing, and they found me walking around the manor house with no clothes on, and the bride's sister told me to go back into my room, and I told her to go F herself, but I don't remember any of this, any of it. And then the next morning I was escorted off the premises, and I was like banished. And everyone at my wedding was like, you know what small towns are like, everybody was there who knew me. God. So imagine the feelings. And it's just mad, isn't it? Absolute madness.
It is a madness. not everybody, but I think the majority of people do. And I'm not saying the majority of people have a problem, but get into that level where you just don't give a shit, you know. And then you get to that point where you don't even know what you're doing. It's like, I've had people say to me, like, I got a mate of mine, Nashy, and he says that the first time I met his wife, we were back and forth saying something, and I went, oh, yeah, well, you know. And I jokingly called her a C-U-N-T. And every time I see him, he brings it up, and I go, mate, I didn't say that. He goes, you did.
Yes.
I think he's on the biggest wind-up going. Because he keeps telling, I'm like, I don't think I did, man. I don't think I did. But I don't remember it.
This is what I would say, like, about like self-forgiveness. Like, I don't forgive myself for a lot of things that I did. But at the end of the day, it wasn't me. Like you've just said there. Like, it literally, everyone has the choice whether they drink or not. But at the end of the day, when you get to a certain point, like, I was not myself. The things I said and did, they're just horrendous, but like you have to work on moving forward and thinking like, do you know what, that was then, and I was absolutely off my face, and I wasn't acting like I would do normally. Do you know what I mean?
No, exactly.
But
what does it feel like when you're? Because this is the thing, people don't talk about what it actually feels like. Are you all right to talk about this? I don't know if it's going to trigger
No. Trust me. You can. We will talk about anything you want. I mean, what I've just spoken about then is pretty bad, but that's nothing compared to what we're talking about. You have to laugh now, mate, to be honest. But whatever you want, mate.
Excellent. All right, cool. I just want to double check.
Yeah.
What does it feel like? People don't talk about. They talk about addiction, and they talk about what happens when you're in it. But they don't talk about what it feels like. Like, what's the feeling? Like, what is it? What's the need that you're chasing? Is it that just I need? What happens? Like, when you wake up in the morning and you're in the midst of it, you're in the middle of it, before you get any help, before you realize you need any help. Talk me through it. How does it? What happens? What does it feel like?
Well, my thing is like, you thought I could never moderate. Like, so as soon as I had one, that was it. So I'd have one, and then I'd get to a point where I'd wake up in the morning, and if you haven't had an issue and you know what a hangover's like, times a hangover by 10, and you wake up and you cannot handle the reality of what is going on. So I would straight away go to the shop. I used to go to Sainsbury's at like 7 in the morning and get like 4 bottles of wine and a crate of beer. Like, it's
Jesus.
Absolutely horrific. And then I would then try and drink myself to a level where we're sat here right now, kind of like semi-normal, although it wasn't. You get to a point, I got to a point where I couldn't get drunk. I drank 6 bottles of wine.
Fuck.
Yeah, five, the most I drank was I drank six bottles, and it was red wine as well. Don't ask
me
why.
Oh God.
I think in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, if I have red wine as opposed to spirits, at least it's a bit classy. Oh, mate. No, and then also add on top the other stuff. How it feels is like I needed for all of them. It was basically just numbing it and digging it deep. And the only way I could do that was to get hammered again. It's like you wake up. I would wake up. So before I went to hospital for the second time, I remember this. I wake up, vomit everywhere in the toilet, and then I was couldn't drink from a glass of water with both hands because I was like this.
Mm.
And then I was I couldn't shower. Getting into the shower was like climbing Everest. So I just used to go. And then I went to I've never really spoken about this to this depth before. It's pretty good to and then. I'd get enough energy and enough like normality, even though I wasn't, to then call someone to pick up something else.
Mm.
And then I'd do that. And then you'd finally get to a point in the evening where you kind of felt a bit drunk again, but not, it was like a weird feeling. It's hard to explain.
So it's not a happy feeling. I've sorted it out. No.
No, because there's all this bullshit about, oh, you know, you drink or have a good time, you know, have a laugh and all that. But this is different. This is like you're getting into a situation. I was in a situation where I had to drink to get through the day, not even to function, just to get through the day. Because I was like, the anxiety, the panic attacks, anxiety, the shaking, the smell, it's vile, like the sick, all of that. On top of the fact, like you said, you don't like when you get drunk, you don't give a shit and you just spend all your money on that. I actually rented a place and I was doing this repeatedly and I actually spent all my rent money, didn't pay any of my bills. I didn't go into work. So they literally were just like, I think I got a letter through the door one day saying, don't come back. So I lost my job.
Wow.
My parents, I completely ignored. My mom speaks about it now. She said that she was going to come and sort help me, like see if I was all right, but she was so petrified because she was convinced she was going to find me either dead or so my dad ended up coming out right around in the end, and thank God he did. He had to like break in because I wouldn't let anyone in. It's just terrific, mate. Absolutely. I cannot explain to you how awful it is. Like, people don't understand how absolute, and people, you know, you say that it's self-inflicted, and yeah, I agree it is, you choose to do that, but you get to a point where it's like you feel like you almost have to do it because you get dependent, basically. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. My story is I rang to go to the Priory because I'd already been before. My insurance would only cover mental health. They wouldn't cover alcohol or drugs. Right. So the psychiatrist said, look, you need to get here now, but we cannot detox you because you've already had it, basically,
wow,
the previous year. So I was like, right. It was like a double-edged sword. It was like, I either can't go and sort my life out or I've got to get sober. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So I had to detox off alcohol and drugs on my own in my house.
Shit.
And you can die, obviously. I mean, yeah, it's dramatic. Yeah. And mate, like I remember it, and I taped it really slowly. It took ages. But I remember I was hallucinating and I saw these spiders going up the wall.
Oh, and, mate.
And it's so funny because it's like, I knew we didn't have spiders that big in England. You're like, hang on.
So you weren't that far gone then. You knew that.
Yeah. I was like, hang on. There's not a bloody tarantula up the wall. Like. And then, but it was weird because I'd like shoot up and panic. And then I'd turn the light on and it'd disappear. And I'd turn the light off and it'd be back again. But you're in such a delirium that you kind of believe that it's there because why else would you be seeing it? And then that sounds ridiculous. I saw some bloke at the end of my bed, like a shadowy like figure. Scared the absolute crap out of me. And just all this kind of stuff. So you can imagine how bad it was. And somehow I managed to get through it. And that's the day she stopped isolating in the house and reached out. And they sent, this is how bad it was, they sent a taxi from Roehampton in London to Wales to pick me up. It was a six-hour taxi journey.
Mm.
So you imagine my taxi journey from my house to the Priory with this taxi guy who kept talking to me, and I was just like,
"God,
yeah." So it was a bit of an ordeal, So yeah, to answer your question, rather than going on a tangent, like, it's just I cannot tell you what it's like. It's like dealing with like like, you know that what you've done, it's like you've lost your job, you've lost your money, you've got nothing, and you know the only way out of this is just to keep drinking, because then you can forget about it for another day. And you wake up and then it's still there, obviously, so then you just keep drinking and then forget about it another day. And it's like, when you get to that point, it's just survival. It's like fight or flight, isn't it? I was at a point where I was like, I don't want to live anymore, but I can't actually do that. I refuse to do that kind of thing. So I reached out and went to hospital and got better.
Yeah.
Mate. It's scary.
So is it a need? Is it a need? Like you just need alcohol? Is that like when you fancy a pizza, but is it like, you know, like, I need to get a bottle of booze. I need a drink.
I need that stuff, crust, barbecue sauce, all that. you do, mate. You do, because do you know what it becomes? It goes from a social thing that makes you feel a bit good to a thing that you know, it, almost like medicine. Like, you know, like if you wake up and you've got something wrong with you and you have to have your antibiotics or whatever. And I don't know, like, this might be getting a bit stupid now, but say you've got something like, I don't know, pains or whatever, and then you take your medication, it makes you feel better, doesn't it? Or whatever, in whatever sense that might be. That's what it was like for me. I was like, I need to drink now so I can stop feeling this awful. And it becomes like that. But I mean, obviously, before it got to that point, it was more like you were saying, like, I would just hide myself away and I would just drink all day because I wanted to feel drunk. I hated feeling sober. The thought of being sober was the most uncomfortable, awkward, horrific thing. So my whole life was like, I want to drink. I always said that, like, I wanted to feel sober how I felt after four or five drinks. And that's just a nail on the head.
I totally get that.
What I mean?
Mine's like social anxiety. I get a bit, if I'm meeting people I don't really know, or I'm in a situation where I'm unfamiliar, then I'll go, I'm going to have a couple of pints. And that takes the edge off. But now I'm drinking. And then, you know, all the goodwill I've built up, I normally lose it because I got too boisterous later on. And they go, oh, I thought you were all right, but you've actually been a fucking knob. Makes it worse. And you just go, well, what I'm doing now is I'm embracing the uncomfortableness of it all. And this I'm going in raw.
Yeah.
And that's... And it must have been when you made that decision, like, you knew you were spiraling, you knew you were fucked.
Oh, yeah.
For you to be able to go, how did it feel when you made that decision, when you went, I need help right fucking now? Was there a sense of relief when you thought there that?
Because there was a sense of relief because I finally knew that I could just go somewhere and be sorted and start to work on myself. The thing is, you've got to remember, I'd been, the first time I went into the Priory was for 6 weeks. And that was when I was in denial, because I was literally like getting on, I was just taking cocaine constantly and drinking constantly. But it never, like, cocaine for me was always a relaxant, euphoric kind of experience. It was never a crazy, let's go for it. And that's, I've learned, it's a lot to do with, like, obviously, how your brain works. So, I mean, for me, ADHD was a massive thing. Because I went the first time and they basically said I had bipolar. And I was like, right, okay. So I went on medication for that. But I was in denial. So I came out and I just went through it again. Literally just, like, relapsed, I suppose is the word. And then just, that's what got me there the second time. But I didn't actually get diagnosed with anything properly until the second time. And that's when I realised, like, the first time I was doing it for my friends on the road, the second time I was doing it for myself. That's the difference. You stop giving a shit about social stuff. You stop giving a shit about partying and what people are going to think of you. You start to think, like, you hit a rock bottom, you can't go any deeper. So for me, it was almost like a good thing, because it was either the end or I sort my shit out. So that's why I've done it, and that's why I did it. That's what I mean by about a lot of people, like, it takes a rock bottom to realise, and it's not how it should be. Like, you should realise now and sort it out. Because it's a messed up place to go. I can't remember the question.
No, it's just that. It's that. What you need, you know, that the day you decided that I need help.
Yeah.
But that's it. It's one of those things that, because up to that point, you kind of go, I need help. And then you'd be drinking and have another line. You go, oh, fuck it. No, I'm fine. I'll be all right. I'll deal with this tomorrow. It's always, I'll deal with it tomorrow. I'll do this now.
Always.
And then I'll worry about it tomorrow.
There's that old phrase, yesterday you said tomorrow. It's like me all over. It's always like tomorrow. And that's exactly what you just made me wrong. It's always like, it's fine. I'll just stop tomorrow. It's fine. I'm all right. I'll do what I did from the age of 18 up until now. Like, I always had cycles of like getting on it and then I'd come back and I'd be normal. Well, not normal, but like, normal. And then like, at the point where I was like, yeah, I need help. And then that's the best thing I ever did. And then I got diagnosed with ADHD.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm on a mission of breaking the stigma around alcohol and men's mental health and ADHD, because everyone thinks it's either naughty kids or you get people saying it's a superpower, which is the biggest load of bollocks going. No offense to anyone who thinks that. controversial, but ADHD actually was like, right, I couldn't find anything there was to know about ADHD, even though you might ask me a question away. It was about like, learning about my brain. Works and what ADHD means for different people, and alcohol, substance use disorder, alcohol use disorder, it's all very much linked with ADHD in my brain, you know, wanting dopamine, not being comfortable in my own skin. So from reaching out to now, God, it's like I'm literally a different person. I literally know I come to Dumpty on a come down, so I'm like, no, that's my like before photo. No one recognizes me. I'll show you. And then so now, I lost like two and a half stone in weight. Started exercising, and literally my world's just changed. All because I just said, do you know what? That whole phrase of man up, sort yourself out, stop being a girl, all that kind of stuff. It's just such a load of bollocks. And like the minute I realised that, she said, I need help. Someone help me. Drop the macho, eager rubbish. Like, just completely, like, you know, it's just amazing. I don't even think about drinking. Right? But if you said to me, here, have a drink, I'll give you 100 quid, I'd say, no, you're all right.
Honestly, yeah.
That's the challenge. Weird.
Well done, mate. Yeah, you look great. You look great. It's one of those things that, do you know what? I've just finished listening to a biography of Oliver Reed, the actor. And hell, it was exhausting. I used to listen to it on the way, because I listened to all sorts of things on the way to gigs. And and this was a big old book as well. So it went on I had it for a couple of weeks and it was just exhausting because he just drank from the time he got up to the time he went to bed. And sometimes didn't even go to bed. It was just relentless.
I don't get it.
No.
I don't get it. How people can do that.
No. It's not fun. I don't imagine you got to a point when, oh, lovely. You were just kind of like, oh, fuck, I'm doing this again.
Yeah. Literally. That's what I don't understand about these people. I mean, obviously it's because we're all different. But like, people who like, it's this whole thing about, oh, yeah, so many people do cocaine and, like, they go to work and it makes them perform better. Mate, I'd literally be like a crab in the corner like this with pincers, like, going, like, like into myself. Like, I was awful. I was like, how people can function and do that day in, day out and drink, like, this whole, like, what do they call it?
Functioning.
Functioning.
Yeah.
Mate, I don't know how people do it.
I do remember years ago, my lovely ex-wife and I had a bit of a time, and there was a lot of stuff around. And I remember her and her mate got up. They just went to work the next day, and I don't know how they did. When they came back, they were fucked. Like, oh God, that was the most stressful, turmoil-filled day of my life. And I went to the gym. I had a gym session with my PT. And I'm like, I can't pull out. I have to go. He'd be so angry. So I went. And then he went, this is the best I've ever seen you. I was on it, mate. I was going mad. That's a one-off. Other than that, it just ruins your day. That's something else now. It's like, I'm so busy. And I've got another little baby now, and I'm like, I haven't got time to be getting on it, and there's no way I can look after him if I'm on a come down or if I'm hungover. It just doesn't even, it's incomprehensible to me that
it's all like just yeah. Just no way. This is the thing, though. Like, I always thought alcohol made me who I was. Like, I was literally like, I'm that person. When I've had a drink, I can be myself and all this crap.
Mm.
And the minute you stop drinking, you're like, shit, man, who am I as a person? Like, I don't yeah. know who I am. I don't even know what I like. I don't know what my hobbies are. What's going on? And then you slowly change and you're
getting on it.
Kind of where you are as yourself. And like,
you know?
I could it's, not.
I really did well. I never had the numbers. So I always made a point of never having any numbers for anyone.
Yes.
Because I knew if I had the numbers, it'd be game over, mate. So that was it, you know. It was one. Of, it was that's how I cope with it anyway.
My problem is that I deleted the numbers. Then they used to contact me because they'd be like, I'd be such a good customer.
I need an extension for my house. Do you, yeah. Are you buying?
Seriously, I'm not even joking. Like, when I went to the rehab, he literally was messaging me all the time saying, no, what are you sending? Where have you gone? I think he shit himself. So I was probably like, putting his kids through.
Yeah, probably was, yeah.
it's not funny, right? But
you must have blown. This is the thing. You must have blown through so much cash. You must have just gone. We must have. I don't know. That would keep me awake at night.
So as an example, so you imagine, I used to get, drink beers throughout the day, drink wine as well, and I used to spend probably 150, at least 150 quid a day. Which doesn't sound a lot, but when it's just you on your own, maybe more actually. Anyway, so say like 200 quid a day times 6 weeks.
It's a lot.
It's a lot on top of the alcohol, on top of all the other stuff. It is a lot, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Mate,
God, I don't know how you did it. I don't know. This is the thing. When that biography of Oliver Reed, when he finally conked out.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, I'm not surprised. Like that day when they tell you what he had on that one particular day when he died, you go, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Seriously,
like you genuinely, your insides just rotted away.
Oh my God. The literally like just as one thing, the heartburn, man. The acid reflux.
You must have blown a fortune on Gaviscon.
Mate, I was like a dragon. I was like fire coming out of my mouth. And literally, like,
yeah.
I remember you used to walk into a house and, like, I'd have, like, empty Rennie packets, like, scattered across the floor. Like, I should be endorsed. I should have been, like, wearing, like, a Rennie T-shirt or something.
My mate Paul was the same. My mate used to chug Rennies like they were going out of, like, they were deleting them. Like, he was like, I've got to get as much as I can. Like, he was forever going, oh, mate, I'm fucking, you know, this is shocking. And
always.
You must have been in pain all over.
Oh, I can't explain to you what it's like. My whole body was just like in agony. I mean, you know, what do they say on the pack? Have 1 to 2 Rennies every half an hour to 2 hours. I mean, yeah. I'm probably having like a whole strip every like 10 minutes.
Jesus Christ. Probably and what did it... Person, go on.
First person to overdose on Rennie. Like, yeah, the alcohol's...
Sounds like, shit pink.
The alcohol was all right and the drugs, but bloody hell, like Rennie, it ruined him. Do you know what I mean?
It was all right till he started doing the Rennies. Yeah. Oh my God.
Bloody Rennie. Yeah.
But what did it feel like when you went back to the Priory? So the first time you went, and what happened the first time? Then? What made that happen?
It was always like, when you first meet someone, then you like to have a drink and stuff. So I just kept going. Then I started drinking secretly. So it would be like, we'd be watching telly and I'd go upstairs and like neck like some wine or whatever I've got and then try and cover it up. I used to like, all the excuses under the sun, like they'd be like, oh, I can smell alcohol on you. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, I've got Cordicil. Or I'd be like, oh, yeah, I've got a mouth ulcer. So I've just Googled TCP. And absolutely horrific. I went, I basically was forced, well, I was basically told I need to go and see a therapist. And this was right at the beginning. And I went to see a counsellor. And then at the end of the session, I drank. And then I went to the shop and got a bottle of wine. And I went home and I said to the other half, I went, she said, well done. To celebrate the fact that you're going to sort out your drinking, go and toast with your other half and say, you know, cheers to getting sober. why would, I mean... How would she ever believe that? And we had like a gin bar. She had these all like top, like really expensive gins. And I just like work my way through them on the sly and like top them up and stuff. And she came in once and she was like, oh, why is the gin's going down? And I was like, yeah, but it's like, you know, I think we were having a heat wave or something. And I was like, it's clearly evaporating. I was like, oh, don't you know spirits evaporate in the heat? And I mean, my God.
Did she believe you? Seriously. Did she believe you? No.
No, clearly not. But like, I think we were at a point where it was like, just kind of wouldn't say anything, but she knew.
So
I had my own bit. I had my own business, and I was like making like timber. I was making like bike sheds from hand and like planters and all this kind of stuff. And I was putting like seed and roofs on them and all this stuff. And I had this a Channel 4 program called Extraordinary Extensions. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
I got a message and a call from these customers saying, we're on this program, will you do us some work? And I was like, yeah, of course I will. And I was like, oh, I'll throw myself into this job and like I'll stop drinking. It'll be my answer. Mm. And it was a massive job, probably for about 5 people. But I was like, oh, I'll do it on my own. So I did all this. Anyway, luckily I got the job done. But just after that, I literally was like, I went into a spiral of like just drinking, taking drugs. I had a workshop and I literally used to just stay there, like sneak into the house at 3 a.m. and stay in the spare room and then go straight out the door the next day. It was just this spiral. Constantly. And I went one morning and I went downstairs and I was so ill that I drank a bottle of wine in my ear. That was obviously part of like, you know, me and the past, and obviously she knew, and it was like the day. And I was just driving around drinking, and it was just absolutely horrific. And it was, I just got to a point where I was like, I either go to the Priory or we're going to split up and it's all going to end. So that's why I went the first time. And I came out and I was clearly really unhappy as a person, had a lot of issues. Shit was like just non-existent. So we split up. I lost my dog. It's all material shite, but like I lost my nice car, I lost my big house, I lost everything. So I moved to Wales on my own in a house, and that's obviously where the second disaster happened. And that's when I went the second time, and that's when I was like, do you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. And that's when the day I came out of there, that's when everything changed. And ever since, I've just been like literally just spreading the word. I've been on quite a lot of podcasts and stuff. I've literally just given this message of, look, don't let yourself get to where I am. Stop the macho crap. Like, as men, we feel like we can't talk about our feelings because we'll be seen as weak, all this vulnerability stuff, you know, and we hide it. And like, you know, male suicide, I'm going on a tangent here, but
no,
like suicide's at its absolute highest like level. And such a significant part of that is male. Obviously, women suffer the same, but there's so many men ending their lives. And then the day before, they were happy, cheery, laughing, nothing wrong with them. But obviously, there was inside because they were covering it all up. They were covering their feelings. And then it just, by bottling it all up, it went too far. And then they did that. And it's like, when it's not being spoken about enough. There's too much of the lad culture bullshit still. Yeah. There's too much of this, like, you know, I told my mate to stop drinking. They laughed. They were like, are you having a laugh? What's wrong with you? Like you, clearly, what's going on?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
There's this mindset of like, if you don't drink, you're boring and you're weird. And if you drink too much, you've got a problem. So it's like, it's just, I don't know. I just think as men and as a whole, I think there's a lot of men out there who are like us, who want to talk about stuff and they want to be real and they want to say, you know, life is shit and I'm not going to bottle it up and I'm not going to worry about the fact I need to be the strong Hercules role model of, you know, like, just if you're struggling, talk to someone, tell someone. Everyone feels shit, everyone's anxious, everyone goes through struggles. Why do we choose to bottle it up? Like, it's just ridiculous. And that's what happened to me. I bottled it up, was in denial massively. And then I ended up losing everything. So now I'm just ridiculously open and I just talk about it all the time. And this is what happens. And it's not been easy. It's not been a bed of roses. It's been really bloody hard. And even now I struggle with my mental health and stuff. But, you know, like if you're going to be quiet about it and not talk about it and feel like you need to be this macho, strong male figure, you're never going to get it sorted. You're constantly going to be bottling up and it just gets 10 times worse. So
yeah.
You know,
definitely.
Talk about it.
Do you remember the day when you realized that you turned a corner, when you didn't need booze anymore, you didn't need gear, you were just like, oh, actually, do you remember, did you have a moment where you went, this is it? Did you ever have a day like that?
I had a mad one because I was like constantly wanting to drink all the time. If I wasn't drinking, I'd be thinking about it. And I was constantly uncomfortable in a sober mind, you know? And then, so I always failed year after year after year. I would always push it too far. I did things that were just absolutely insane. And like, I was always in denial. And then there came a point where literally it was like a light switch had gone on in my head. And I can't explain to you what it's like or what triggered it to happen. But I just woke up one day and I was like, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I don't want to do it anymore. And that's the thing. I always wish that I could have this mindset of I don't want to drink. I'm happy with who I am as a person. And I'm confident enough to do things like this. I'd never be sat with you having a chat now. There's just no way.
No.
And it just happened. And I was just like, I'm not doing this anymore. And now I just couldn't think of anything worse. And it's like, it's really hard to explain how you completely change your mindset. Like you go from like one way of looking at life and the way that things are to a completely different way. Like you realize the material things are bullshit. You realize it's about the relationships and the people that you surround yourself with. It's about your environment. It's about cheesy shit like going on hikes on the mountains. And I know that sounds hilarious. And to be fair, I haven't done that for a while, but when I first, you know, and realizing that there's more about life. Like people will say to you, oh, have a drink, you only live once. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. Like, why would I have a drink? I only live once. You know, there's more to life. And I know it's cheesy. And I've always looked at people like me and thought, oh, God, like, here we go. Don't trust someone who doesn't drink. Like, why is it more boring? You know, and I'm not that person, but I don't care. I don't care because it is what it is. And if you can socialize like you do and have a good time and it's all good, then great, good for you. But I can't, you know, I just can't. I'm just all or nothing with everything. So I can't put my all or nothing. I put my all or nothing mindset into positive things that at the moment seem to be having positive effects. So that's my mindset. And yeah, I don't know. I can't tell you how it happened or when, but it just did. It was like, bosh. And I was like, right, screw this. I'm going to live for now. It's another cheesy one as well. Don't live in the past, live in the now and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny. I was listening to it. A lot of people are Eckhart Tolle.
That's it. Yeah.
And he was saying, I listened to the first 5 minutes of The Power of Now, and he said, I don't have a lot of use for the past, and I went, fuck, that's all I needed to hear. I didn't need the rest. I'm like, oh yeah, that's it. That's why I'm doing it.
Everyone goes on about that book, and it is absolutely unbelievable. It's amazing. I bought it, like you just said, read like the first couple of chapters or whatever. And that's it in a nutshell. Who cares about yesterday? If you actually, this is a bit deep, like, but if you actually sit here now, what have we got? We've got me and you sat here now talking. What is the past? It's your mind. It's your memory. Okay? It doesn't exist. No, it's your mind. Gone. The future, it's not here. It doesn't exist. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Obviously, by today's actions and what we do, we can steer ourselves into the future and what might happen. But we don't know what's going on tomorrow.
No.
So why are we worrying about it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got plans. Well, you've got things that you've planned in the future. But that's, you go, yeah, well, I'm going to go and do that. But you don't know what could happen.
This is the thing. And yeah. I mean, it's all right. It's all right for us to sit here and go, oh, well, don't worry about, you know, the bailiffs tomorrow because you're only live once.
do worry about your bailiffs. Don't let that.
They might not turn up, live for today. But you know, like when you actually like look at it properly, it's true though, isn't it? Like all we have is this moment. Like, and then really like, it's just our minds, like my mind telling me stuff.
I get it all the time. I've said this the other day. I was driving because I spend a lot of time, as I say, driving to gigs. I spend hours driving.
Yeah.
And I was like, this thought popped into my head of something I'd done when I was 16. I just left school and I'd got this job at Curry selling televisions. And the dude that hired me he, for the first month, 2 months, he said, I'm going to give you my, I'll give you my commission from whatever I make. I'll give you my, as like an incentive, right? And I never appreciated it. I was a cunt and I just, and I ended up leaving the job. So I was a kid. I didn't know what I was doing. And I was like, oh, woe is me. Oh, this is really hard and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Because I'm a kid. I didn't realize. And then this, and it's bothered me since then. 1988, that was. It's bothered me ever since this guy, to the point I'm like, I'm going to find him. I'm going to track him down. I'm going to find him and tell him that I appreciated that and I didn't at the time and blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, he doesn't even know about you anymore. That wasn't even you. You're not you who you are now. If he ever remembers it, which he probably doesn't, you were just this little kid.
This and he doesn't. Thing, though, isn't it?
It's not, this that's not thing. Who you are anymore. And you could turn up and he'd go, I don't remember you, mate.
Or he'll probably be like, fuck it, I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that, you little shit.
I want my money. He'll probably message you later.
How mad would that be? If he listens to this, if you're listening, Mark,
you imagine. You imagine. But yeah, I mean, this whole thing, we're going to, I mean, you know, I thought, I try not to go too deep into things, but like I've done that. This is just like, I do not sit here and for a minute try and pretend I'm some sort of life coach or professional. I mean, dear God. But because I've had so much therapy sessions and stuff, like all these exercises that I did and that, and some are amazing, some are like obviously don't work. But like this whole thing about positive self-talk and how you talk to yourself. If you actually listen to how you talk to yourself, how do you talk to yourself? Because a lot of the time, I'm always saying stuff that's like, bloody hell, like, stop being a nightmare, stop talking, stop. As if you said that, like, oh God, like, you'll always be this, always be that, you'll never get this. And like, end of the day, you talk to yourself more than anyone else in the world talks to you. You talk to yourself. So if you're talking to yourself like shit and you're worrying about stuff all the time and you're being negative all the time, that's how you're going to think in general, isn't it? And like they say that if you challenge your thoughts, which I know, easier said than done, you can actually reprogram your automatic thought memory and all that thought process and all that stuff. So it's like, it is actually quite interesting. I mean, it all sounds a bit Disney to me that you can rewire your brain to be happy all the time. But I mean, you can help, surely. Because I'm like literally constantly putting shit in my head that's like, oh, I'm never going to do that. People think I'm a dickhead, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, actually, do they though? Probably. But
no, like, but there's going to be people out there that, you know, probably do, but the majority of people aren't thinking about you. They not as much as you think they are.
This is the thing. Like you think, and you think about like, oh, everyone's going to think I'm this. Everyone thinks I'm that. Everyone worries about this. What are people going to think if I say I'm struggling at the moment? To be honest with you, people who care and love you will support you. Everyone else doesn't really. They've got their own lives to deal with. They've got their own stuff. People aren't worried about you and what you're doing.
They're going through their own. Oh God, they think I'm a dickhead.
Exactly.
I've had it where I've ended up speaking to someone and they've gone, oh, I thought you didn't like me. I went, no, I thought you didn't like me.
There you go.
And neither
that's
of us.
Another one.
And there was no reason for that.
And also, it's funny how about, like, as soon as you walk in the room, you feel like you know everyone in that room just by how they're being in that moment. Oh, he's the arrogant one, he's the overconfident one, she's the like moody one, blah, blah, blah. You don't know who these people are, literally. No. You have no idea. Like, and we seem to just judge people on face value, which I just find hilarious.
I know we do, because our own insecurities, man, keep. And that's the thing. I have this conversation with my wife, because every now and again, you know, because, you know, you're married and you have an argument. Not an argument, it's like a disagreement. And there's been a few times where we were going, what you've just told me, that's all assumption. That's assumption. You've assumed that. And then she's the same. She goes, I never said that. I never thought that. And I'm like, yeah, but because you said the other thing, I thought you, and you know, and it's all, we've assumed this fucking argument out of nowhere.
I always thinking the worst in people. I'm really bad with that. Or I was terrible with that. Like, you just presume that you're going to get like done over, and it's like, hang on a minute, why don't you actually give people a chance? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The main stuff, the mental health stuff, and the alcohol and the drugs and things. It's just like, you know, this is what I'm trying to talk. You know, talking to you about today, and what I'm kind of getting out there and all this stuff is that, like, hey. Like, you do not need alcohol. Alcohol's not your friend. Like, you don't need booze to function in life and have a good time. Like, you are not boring. Secondly, speak about your bloody feelings. Vulnerability is strong, it's strength. Like, don't worry about what people are thinking. Don't bottle it all up and talk to other people. Because the minute I started talking to people is when I sorted my life out. And if you don't, it just gets worse. Because yeah. I mean, if I'd have spoke to someone, maybe I wouldn't have gone from, like, you know. I mean, I remember when I was 21 and I crashed my, I got a brand new car on finance. And I got so drunk that I went into a house and I crashed into a house.
Oh, my God.
And this is at 21. And what happened is, I basically, the police came, arrested me, spent the night in the cell, and then I went to court, and I got done for drink driving. And they told me, the engineer said, if I went like a certain inches to the left, I'd have killed the family. I'd have gone into the house, I'd killed the family, I'd have killed myself. And I literally felt like that was the worst thing that could ever happen, and that's the worst kind of thing someone can do. But instead of opening up and saying, that's really affected me, that's really bad, I really could do with help now or want to talk to someone about it. I was brought up in a family, in a household. I don't blame my dad because my dad's a different person now, but like that, that whole macho, old school, don't cry, it's a weakness. Yeah. Don't show your feelings. Man up. So I just bottled that up, went to London, did music and got on it. And then now we're sat here and I've been to rehab twice. And it's like, I'm not blaming my father, but what I'm saying is like if I'd have just spoken if I'd have just spoken about my feelings and said, look, I am anxious. Yes, I am. Feel I've got low self-worth. Yes, I am using alcohol as a coping mechanism. Yes, I've done some stupid shit and I really need someone to talk to. You know, maybe I'd have got help a lot sooner. But instead, I just machoed it up and was like, oh, no, I can't tell anyone. I'll just drink through it. I'll just cope by drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So what's happening now? What are we doing now? What are your plans? What are you doing?
So basically I came out 18 months ago. I came out and I was like, I came out of the priory. And
okay.
I just basically just started going wild with the exercise and all that kind of stuff. And then started like, I started getting to know the sober community who are amazing. And then now I'm basically just on a mission to kind of, I'm working with ADHD UK. Now I'm one of their new ambassadors, which is amazing. It's incredible what those guys do. It's by breaking the stigma around ADHD and also changing the way that the government, the way that things are, actually, you know, the system and things like that. And base everything ADHD. So that's really good. I'm getting involved with that. I'm doing a lot of different podcasts and things, but I've also started like a sober. It's not just sober, actually. It's more like mental health and being able to talk to people like a platform. And instead of pretending that I'm a nice coach and I know what I'm talking about, I'm here for, you know, to show people what to do. It's more about actually, we've all got our own experiences. We're all going through our own struggles, our own journeys. So let's all come together in this circle and let's all help each other, guide each other and be there for each other. So yeah, so I've called it Sober Life Guides. So it's basically Sober Life Guidance. So it's not guidance from me per se, it's guidance from everyone in the group. So everyone who's a part of it, we kind of just, we've got an online thing where we talk, you know, we chat, we do like Zooms, we do like live talks. I throw in loads of like tools to help you get through sobriety. So if you're struggling with alcohol or drugs or even just want someone to talk to, I just thought I'm going to start something free of charge, jump on there, hear me dribble on about sobriety, but you know that, it's been really good. No, it's been really
That's
good.
Amazing,
it's
amazing,
so far. So it's only new. It's really new, but yeah, I'm just going to focus on that, get that out there, and just keep spreading the word, mate. To be honest, and just try and help people. I mean, I keep getting messages now from people who are like they're too scared to talk to people they know because they don't want to be less of a bloke. But they see what I'm saying and they know I've been through similar stuff and we just chat, you know, and I just tell them that for me to be 18 months sober and talking to you and having a laugh, anyone can be 18 months sober and sit here having a laugh. It's like, it's just, anyone can do it. You just got to change your mindset and put in the hard work and just realize that like it's so much better.
Absolutely. So much better. And if anyone's listening to this and you're in the middle of it, and you think there's nothing, there's no hope, there's no help for you. There is. And we're going to we'll stick the link up for Luke's stuff attached to this episode. We're going to stick links up as well where you can get some proper help, people you can talk to. Because there are options. I know it doesn't feel like it now, but there are. And that's why we do this podcast, because we want to help you. And so there you go. All the links will be there. Have a look underneath. Luke will be around to be. He'll help you out, point you in the right direction, I'm sure.
Yeah. Drop me a message anytime.
Yeah. There you go. Luke, you've been amazing. And I'm so glad to see you on the other side of it, mate. You look great. I'm fucking envious. Look at the state of me. I'm going to go and get me out. I'm going to go and get me out. I've got to go and see. So now I'm going to see the Turkish barber at the end of my street. And I have to book in an hour and a half because you can't. Every time I go in there, I go, just have a bit of a top and trim my beard. And then half an hour into it, I'm face down in the sink. He's rubbing my face. He's got oils and spray and he's blinding. And I've got the lolly sticks up my nose and in my ears. And
I need to try that.
Go to a Turkish barber to sort you right out, mate. Honestly. Yeah.
Like, literally, like I'm watching shock anyway, mate. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too. We'll stay in touch, all right? That'd be great.
Yeah. Thanks
nice for one, on, Luke. My pleasure, hey. Anytime. So this has been Insane in the Membrane. I've been Rich Wilson. This has been the brilliant Luke Bayliss. And as we say, there's links in the thing. So keep joining us, keep supporting us, and we'll see you next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.